Owning a Labrador Retriever can be like living in a state of grace. Owning two Labrador Retrievers is nothing short of footrest bliss. For writer John Katz, life with his two golden labs, Julius and Stanley, couldn't have been more idyllic.
It was a happy relationship from the first, and it only grew better, more comfortable. Our lifestyles, as they say, meshed perfectly. Neither dog had much interest in running around. Their great genius was doing nothing in particular with great style and dedication. Their chosen work was to reflect on the state of the world, lick neighborhood kids, and accompany me through midlife. Of the various dogs in my life, Julius and Stanley were the first with whom I lived in such tranquility. The three of us were as settled in our relationship as a middle-aged man and his dogs could be, perhaps too settled.
Sometimes, John Katz writes, change comes on four legs, and in this case, the four legs of an endlessly energetic border collie named Devon. A Dog Year, 12 Months, Four Dogs, and Me is Katz's tenderly written memoir, which features one of the craziest animals I have ever had the opportunity to read about. John Katz joins me from Newark member station WBGO. Welcome, John.
Thank you. We sort of see him as unique.
Okay. Also, welcome to two of the subjects of your book, Devon and Homer. Hi, boys.
Hey there. They're right. They're actually lying down and behaving, which is kind of a shock.
They're right there in the studio with you.
Right there.
And they come with you everywhere?
They come with me everywhere, and Devon, as you'll be proud to know, just jumped right up on the table and then jumped off to sort of check it out.
John, how did Devon come into your life?
I had been intrigued with border collies as a breed, and one of the people I was emailing was a border collie breeder in Texas named Deanne Veselka. And she had this dog, Devon, who needed a rescue, needed a new home.
Well, when Devon first came to live with you, you put him in your yard, and then you drive away. And then the next thing you know, he's waiting for you in the driveway. Could you read the passage about how he managed to escape from the yard?
Yes. My yard is enclosed by a whitewashed picket fence. Through the window, I saw Devon in the yard, racing to each slat, inserting his needle nose in the spaces between. When he found a loose slat, he wiggled his nose furiously, pushing the wood to one side. He squeezed through the narrow opening, and then, here's the scary part, turned around and pushed the slat back into position. Then he ran onto the sidewalk and sat down, watching for my car, leaving no evidence of his escape route. Devon understood the concept of covering his tracks.
Well, Devon's clearly a smart dog.
Well, this was the first of his many misadventures. I mean, the first night he really knocked me for a loop by jumping on top of a passing minivan in front of my house and riding it halfway down the block. When I saw he was riding this van, I, of course, gave chase, and I'm a sort of large man with a pooper scooper. And the driver of the car looked in his rearview mirror and saw me running down, waving the scooper and yelling and screaming. So he, of course, accelerated. But this was my realization that I had a new kind of creature. This was not a Labrador.
Well, you write at one point, you wonder if he's upstairs studying German. But you also call him, affectionately, you call him the hell dog because he's not a dog that was supposed to be kept in a suburban house. What did it take for you to train him?
He was a challenge to me on many, many levels. For one thing, I needed to learn a lot more about dogs than I knew. When you have a dog like this and you have to train him and he has so much instinct and so much intelligence and so much need to work and move around, you have to get very creative and very inventive. You also really have to confront your own patience and your own anger and your own determination. It became a real article of faith with this dog and I that we were going to stick it out together. In a way, this book to me is really about the very curious place dogs have in the lives of people right now in America. People attribute all sorts of emotions and feelings to dogs. I'm not sure dogs really have. But yet the attachment between a dog and a person can be extraordinarily powerful. And this one was very, very good for me. It was something I really needed. I think I wasn't really done nurturing, perhaps. And I think the biggest gift, really, is he forced me to deal with this impatience and anger I had in ways I think I probably wouldn't have done without him. It's funny, as I'm saying this, he just has put his head in my lap. It's kind of a sweet moment. He knows I'm talking about him.
you didn't settle with just Devin in your life. Along comes Homer, who's another border collie, except Homer's much calmer. Would you read the passage in which you pick up Homer at the airport and then introduce him to Devin, who's waiting in the car?
I was stunned when I opened the trooper's door and Devin came snarling out and instantly had Homer on the ground as he went for his throat. Homer shrieked. I kicked Devin away and he looked at me in outrage. His attack could not have been more clear. I know what you're up to, he was saying, and there is no way this runt is coming into our car, our house, our lives. Homer, who I later realized had a strong sense of the dramatic, was squealing as if he were being murdered. I picked him up and put him on a blanket on the front seat, reaching back and cuffing Devin on the shoulder for good measure. All during the drive home, Devin glowered angrily over at me from the back seat. I stopped in the village at my friends Jeff and Michelle's house because their 2.5-year-old twins wanted to see the new puppy. Homer eagerly bounded down the hall into the living room and hurtled right into Michelle's lap. He licked her face furiously, then jumped over to the children and slobbered all over them, and then Jeff. Then he accompanied everyone upstairs for the kids' bedtime, hopping up on each of their beds for goodnight kisses. Meanwhile, Devin slipped off into the dining room to dump on the carpet.
How have you achieved peace among you and Devin and Homer?
I have to credit Homer because the poor dog is in between these two crazy personalities. He's such a sweet dog that he has eventually charmed even Devin. He doesn't challenge him. He waits until Devin eats before he eats. And we have many, many beautiful times now where the two of them are sort of yin and yang, as complex and domineering as Devin can be. Homer is sweet and undemanding. It's a great feeling of harmony. It's really the three of us, kind of the three amigos. We're always running around. We go chase geese off of the town parks and schools, and we go to the ocean and try to herd the waves, and we do sheep herding, which is amazing for me, and I'm enjoying that very much.
John Katz is the author of A Dog Year, 12 Months, 4 Dogs, and Me. He, Devin, and Homer joined us from member station WBGO in Newark, New Jersey. Thanks, John.
Thank you.